Well, let's pray together. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to a solemn thing in thy word tonight, the death of thy servant Moses. But we pray, Heavenly Father, though a solemn thing, we pray that it might be sanctified to us and that we may be comforted, Lord, by that experience of his many years ago. As we, if Christ tarries, face the same ourselves sometime in the future, in thine own appointed time and moment. Appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. We pray, Father, we might be helped by thy word tonight, comforted, corrected if needs be, but encouraged by these things, and that any fear attached to this future event, Lord, might be removed from us, and that we might press on to the end and to glory. Help us now, Father, we pray, in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our hearing, and that, Father, that thou be glorified throughout, and help us and give to us all grace, we pray, and, Lord, whatever good is done, we pray that thou receive the glory for it. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, over the last few meetings or services, we've been looking together. If you've been present at the character Moses, the well-known, the famous person of the prophet Moses, the Old Testament prophet Moses, who I'm sure is known to every one of us through our hearing about him in Bible studies and sermons, and also by our reading our own scriptures and commentaries and so on the scriptures. Last Thursday evening, in the Bible study and prayer meeting, doesn't matter for this message if you wasn't there, if you weren't there, but last Thursday evening in that meeting, we were looking at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 to 29, about Moses' prayer and answer. He was an answer of God to his prayer. He was actually praying that the Lord might overturn the sentence upon him that he would not enter into the promised land, and the Lord wouldn't overturn it. His word concerning him stood as far as that was concerned, but as we see, he was going to permit him a sight of the land of Canaan before he died, but he wasn't going to enter into that physical Canaan, although he was going to enter into the spiritual, into the heavenly Canaan after his death by grace. So we're looking at that last Thursday evening, and then this morning we're looking at Numbers 22 to 13 about Moses' sin and punishment, which preceded, I've not been going chronologically, but according to the nature of the meetings, Moses' sin and punishment, how God came to pass that sentence down upon him, that he would enter into the promised land because of his unbelief, and for those things that we saw this morning. Things that Moses did that he shouldn't have done, those things that he didn't do that he should have done in striking the rock at Kadesh. So his sin and punishment, we're looking at that this morning in Numbers 22 to 13. And now tonight I want us to look at the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy 34, just to finish this series, this mini-series of 3 messages about Moses, which are connected together in the way that I've shown you. And look tonight at Moses' death and burial. So I read those verses to you already. They were verses or words that obviously not written by Moses, because it's recording Moses' death and what happened after his death, so they weren't written by him, although the rest of the first 5 books of the Bible were, as he was led to do so by the Spirit of God. These words may well have been written either by his successor Joshua or Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest who succeeded Aaron in the office of the high priest, or they may have been written by the prophet Samuel. But I want us to just start with verses 5 and 6, which sums up the whole and mentions about Moses' death and burial. We read there, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, the Lord, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. So, dear friends, tonight I want us to look at this passage here then at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, and verses 1 to 8. And we can see in this passage that there are a number of persons that are involved, as we saw this morning, the passage that we looked at this morning. First of all, we see, obviously, because we're dealing with the run-up to his death and his burial and what happened after his burial, Moses is here, and he's particularly mentioned in verses 1, 5, and 7. And here we have the servant of the Lord and an account of his dying work. Otherwise, we have an account of his life, the work of his life before this, but now we have an account of his dying work, of his death. And particularly, what happened to him both before and when he died. That's as far as Moses is concerned. What happened to Moses here both before and when he died? And his Lord is here, Jehovah, the one who he had served all of his life and was with him also in the time of his death, and the one to whom he went after he died spiritually by his soul and is still with him today. And about the Lord here, we're told about what he did graciously as far as Moses was concerned before and after his death. And then thirdly, at the end here, at the end of the text, my text in verse 8, the children of Israel are mentioned, and we're told here what they also did after Moses' decease and after the Lord buried him. We're told about their activity as far as Moses is concerned. And I want us to look at these things this evening, my dear friends. This is a message very much not for any who may be here that are not Christians. This is a message for Christian believers. But for any of you, even Christians, who may be a little fearful about the future, fearful about your old age, fearful about your death in the future, I think there's much here. There are many reasons here, when we look at Moses' death, why we should not fear to die. Of course, it's not Moses' death that really takes the fear of death away. It's the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has removed our sins for us. And we don't have to fear the eternal consequences of our sins after our death in the judgment. And so it's the death of our Lord Jesus Christ that really takes all fear of death away. But also, I think the death of Moses can also help us and give us some reasons why we should not fear the time of our own decease, whenever it happens. It could happen at any time. The Lord could return at any time. And the Lord, although we might be fit, hale and hearty, the Lord could take us away at any time. You think of that footballer. Was it yesterday? And a very fit man. And he had a heart attack on the football field in one of the cup matches. And he's fighting for his life in hospital. He's in a critical condition. My dear friends, even for the very healthy of us, or we think we might be healthy, death comes at God's appointed time. And we need to be ready for it, and as Christians, not to be afraid, that we may die well and have an abundant entrance into God's kingdom. So let's first of all look at verse 1 here, and Moses, and what happened before, almost immediately before Moses died. And Joshua, or Eleazar, or Samuel, whoever wrote these things, because ultimately it was the Spirit of God who caused them to write these things, tells us that Moses, just before he died, and it shows just how well preserved Moses was, even though he was 120 years of age, it shows that his natural force had not abated, and that there at the verge of Jordan, and before God's people entered into the promised land, Moses was able, he had the strength, he had the vitality, he had the vigour, the physical vigour to go up, to ascend, to climb upwards from the plains of Moab, where Israel were encamped at this time, before, as they'd gone 40 years through the wilderness, was just about to go into the promised land. They were encamped down there on the plains of Moab, And that's where Moses went up from. No doubt they accompanied Moses, perhaps to the foot of the mountain. But then they bid him adieu. He said goodbye to them. No doubt there were tears. No doubt there was a time of prayer. But then Moses went up. Moses ascended. Moses climbed up from the plains of Moab, from the flat desert, or the wastes, or the wilderness of Moab. Moab was the son of Lot and his eldest daughter. And the plains of Moab were in the southeast of Judah, where he dwelt, where his posterity dwelt. And it was east of the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea, and south of the tribe of Reuben. So it's east of the Jordan and right down the south. That is where the plains of Moab were. That's where the children of Israel were encamped. And that is where Moses went up from, into the mount. Now, where did he go up to? Well, he climbs up from the plains of Moab, which are down low, and he ascends with the strength that God has given to him up into the mountain of Nebo, up into the hill or the Mount Nebo. Nebo means height. And Nebo was a mount east of Jordan, just over against Jericho, in Moab, and part of the Abarim range of mountains, with a top called Pisgah, which was 6 miles west from Heshbon. You might want to look at these places up. Look these places up afterwards to see exactly where these things actually happened. He went up to the mountain of Nebo, even, my dear friends, up to the very top of Pisgah. Pisgah means peak or point. And it was that ridge of the mountains, or this range of Abarim, of which Nebo was the highest point in the kingdom of Sion. Sion was a king that they had recently defeated. He was king of the Amorites, and which he himself had taken from Moab, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 49 and 50. So Moses climbs up from the plains, the lowlands, up into the mountain of Nebo, up to the top of Pisgah, that is over against the city of Jericho, the city of the palm trees. And then the Lord does something very special, as far as he is, something miraculous, as far as Moses is concerned. But you know what happened to Moses here physically is something that spiritually may happen to us when we are possibly approaching death. I won't say that it will happen, it's not guaranteed to happen, but it's possible to happen. It's happened to the saints in the past, and it can happen to saints in the present and in the future until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And that is, my dear friends, that Moses ascended physically, and God is able to cause us to ascend spiritually towards the time of our death and bring us very near to him, and bring him very near to us, bring us very near to heaven and heaven to us, and that we have a real experience of glory before entering into glory. I wonder, my dear friend, whether that something like that would happen to you. I remember as a young Christian reading a book called Thoughts of Religious Experience. Have you ever seen that? It's a book by a man called Alexander. You want to get it because at the end of that, it gives accounts of the kind of experiences of various saints in the past when they were upon their deathbeds. And something like this happened to them. As Moses, as it were, climbed up into the physical heavens, up on top of the mount, God has very graciously sometimes visited saints when they're reaching the point of death, when they're on their deathbeds, and he has spiritually elevated them and given them that concept and that experience of heaven, heaven in their hearts, heaven upon earth before they enter into it. And it's been something so very refreshing and revitalizing and reviving to them, that really they have understood more of God and more of heaven and experienced more of him and understood more of the scriptures and of truth in their dying hours and their dying moments than perhaps they've ever known throughout the whole of their lives. So might something like that happen to you? It's worth thinking about. It's worth living well for and looking forward to and praying for as well. Will you perhaps, as you reach the end of your life, your last illness, reaching the point of death, will you spiritually go up, ascend, climb upwards from the plains of this world, these lowlands, up into the spiritual mountains, into the spiritual heights, into the spiritual heavenlies. My dear friend, if you do, then fear of death will be taken away. And perhaps the prospect of that and the thought of that and reflecting upon these things can help us to, can help to remove the fear of death from us as Christians. And perhaps even look forward to this and expect it and anticipate it and to look indeed for it. It's possible. So these things are possible. So for that reason, do not fear death. It's different for different Christians. John Bunyan puts that across, doesn't he, beautifully, in Pilgrim's Progress. When a Christian is crossing the waters, representative of death, and his companion crosses it as well, it's harder for Christian than the other. And death is harder for some Christians than others. And you might think that the stronger Christian is going to find it easier, but sometimes it's harder for them. God testing their faith more. For those who are weaker, perhaps God makes death easier. God is sovereign in all of these things, but he's sovereign to give you perhaps a very special experience, spiritual experience, when you are dying, before you die, at any time. And it'll help remove and allay the fear of death to you. But then also we're told not only about Moses here, but now as Moses at the top of the Mount Nebo, at the top of Pisgah, what does the Lord do before Moses dies? Well, the Lord does something miraculous, because he shows Moses, he causes him to see the whole of the land of Canaan. You say, how is that possible? How could that be possible? Canaan was 160 miles from top to toe and 60 miles broad. Moses even factored he had his eyes were not dimmed by even when he was 120 years of age. Unlike some that went before him whose sight was dim in their old age, like Jacob and others too. He probably had 20/20 vision at the age of 120. But how could he possibly do this? Well, God worked a miracle. I could go into all that he showed him, but really just to summarize it, he showed him the whole of the land of Canaan, and the whole of the land of Canaan here is described from the southeast, from Gilead. He's able to see the land of Gilead on the east side of Jordan, all the way up the east side of Jordan, right to the north, to the northernmost city, the city of Dan. He shows him across to Galilee, where Galilee was going to be, Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali, where they settled, were going to settle. He showed him all the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, in the middle of the land, coming down now, down through Israel. He showed him all the land of Judah towards the south, going right down into the south to the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, even to Zoar, which was right at the very foot of the Dead Sea, of the Salt Sea. So really, the description there is the whole of the land of Canaan God showed to him. Whether he showed to him all in one go, how he did this, I really don't know. Whether he kind of strengthened his eyes, and he was able to cast his eyes over the whole of this, and he looked all the way round, as it were. He surveyed the whole of it. Or the Lord perhaps took him in spirit, I don't know, and showed him the whole of the land. One way or another, miraculously or spiritually, he showed him all the land before his death. He opened his eyes to these things. He revealed them to them. Moses had a wonderful revelation and vision of the land before he died, although he would not enter into it. He did enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. Well, dear friends, God is able to do this too, before you and I die. Again, it's not guaranteed, but it's possible. He can open your eyes. He can reveal things concerning himself, the deep things of himself. You can experience him as never before. He can, as it were, draw back the veil and show you something of glory, something of the glory of Emmanuel's land before you die. Will he do that? Will he show you some of the land, some of Emmanuel's land before you die? It must be possible, because it happened to Stephen before he died. It was special, perhaps it's rare, But it can happen when Stephen was dying, when he was being stoned, God opened his eyes. And he looked into glory and he saw the Lord and the glory of the Lord, and the Lord standing at the right hand there waiting to receive him. Don't say that you'll see that. But God can convey to you. He can convey to your mind. And he can convey to your spirit and to your soul more of God than you've ever known throughout the whole of your life. More about Christ and more about heaven at such a time. And again, my dear friends, it's something to really pray for. Prepare, my dear friend, prepare to die as a Christian. That's where it's all heading, from time and into eternity. And this way, through this door, through this portal, through the experience of death, that as we came into spiritual life through the new birth, we're going to go into eternity through death, my dear friends, through the valley of the shadow of death. And we don't want to have to fear evil. And this is one of the reasons why we don't have to fear, because God at that time can show us wonderful things. So if that's the case, if God does that, again, it's another reason why you don't have to fear such a time. As I say, my dear friends, be ready for anything with the Lord, because I've known of Christians, and lovely Christians, and obedient Christians, spiritual, godly Christians, who thought death was going to be very easy, and perhaps thought something like this was going to happen to them. God was going to take them up into the heights, and God was going to really draw near, and they were surprised, and their families were very surprised how hard they found it. Ready yourself for anything with the Lord. You don't know how hard or easy it may be. I trust that it may be easy for us. The waters may be relatively shallow, and that we might walk across this last Jordan, feeling the bottom, feeling solid, feeling secure, feeling strong, giving glory to God, triumphing in him, even in the hour of our decease and passing into eternity. So will the Lord show you something of the land before you die? It's possible. Therefore, another reason not to fear dying. The Lord not only showed him these things, but before he died, the Lord spoke to him very obviously, very clearly, perhaps audibly, perhaps to his inner ear. The Lord was there, you see, in his death. That's why Moses didn't fear. The Lord was with him. And that's the main reason, my dear friends, why we don't need to fear death, because the Lord will be with us. Psalm 23 and verse 4. His rod and staff, they'll comfort us. His presence will comfort us. But God spoke to him. He said, this is the land which I swear, I promise to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have caused thee to see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not go in thither. Thou shalt not go in there. So in one sense, what God had to say to him wasn't very encouraging. But the consolation was he was going to a better place, a better country. Before you and I pass over that last Jordan, my dear friends, God may not only show us wonderful things to our minds and to our hearts, souls and spirits, he can also speak to us powerfully and comfort us from his word, comfort us from the visits of Christians, Christian ministers, speak to us through hymns, and as particularly as they say, through his word. He can speak to us, and he can assure us, he can reassure us, he can fortify us, he can strengthen us in that day. Amen. So that we might have a full assurance of faith. And he may do that. He can grant a quickening before we die at the end, like a last spurt, spiritual spurt before we die. And then perhaps as we are nearly there, he can speak very clearly to us again and assure us that he is our salvation. See, my dear friends, death for the world is a terrible thing. It's such a dark thing. It can be relatively dark for us. It can be difficult. But it can be glorious. There's a glory to the Christian's death. There's a glory to the Christian's funeral and burial. And of course, there's a glory to the Christian's eternity. There's a mere glory in death. He can come to us. He can show us wonderful things. He can speak to us. Matthew Henry wrote, sometimes God reserves the brightest discoveries of his grace to his people to be the support of their dying moments. Sometimes God reserves, he keeps back, he stores up the brightest discoveries of his grace, of his person, of his work to his people to be their support in their dying moments. Some believers in the past have said, you know, they've never understood the gospel so clearly as when they were dying. Some great theologians, they've been very clever and very intelligent and had a very good understanding and grasp of the gospel during their lives, but they've never seen it spiritually as clearly as towards the end of their Christian lives. God can show such things not only to theologians, but also to us as ordinary Christians, ordinary believers. Watts, in his hymn, said, "Could we but climb where Moses stood, and view the landscape o'er, not Jordan's stream or death's cold flood to fright us from the shore." So these are things to take the fear of death away from us in the death of Moses. What else are we told here about Moses? We're told about him, what happened to him when he died. And we're told that he died in the land of Moab. And also we're told how he died. That he died according to the word of the Lord. According to the Lord's word. According to what God had said to him. He died where God said. And how God said. And God told him, obviously he knew roughly when it was going to happen. Because he knew he wasn't going to enter into Canaan. So it was all according to God's word to him. As God predicted it to him. In the land of Moab. He died at the mouth of the Lord, it means. Or he died in compliance with the perfect will of God. Surely, my dear friends, that should comfort us. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Our own death is appointed. And when it comes, we mustn't resist it because it's God's will. And we should die in the comfort that we've fulfilled God's will in our lives, and we are fulfilling his perfect will and plan in our dying also. We're dying according to the will of God, according to his word, he's told us we would do, at his mouth, in compliance with his will. So will you die, my dear friend, according to the will of God? Yes, you will. It'll be his appointment. It'll be his time. It'll be his place. It'll be his circumstances. It'll be the age that he wanted you to reach. You'll have done the things that he wanted you to do. You'll be immortal until your work is done. But when your work is finished, then, my dear friend, it would be your time for your rest and the time for your reward. Will you and I die according to the word of God, according to his will? Yes, we will. Therefore, we need not fear death, because it won't be contrary to his will. It'll be according to his plan. Indeed, my dear friends, we must pass this way if Christ tarries, in order to reach his eternal purpose, his ultimate purpose for us, which is for us to be with him, which is far better. It's not God's purpose for you to always to be here, going through the wilderness of this world, going through this life, going through pain and difficulty, tiredness, the battle of the work and everything. His ultimate purpose is that you might be with him. That's why he sent his son. That is why Christ rose. That is why he's in glory. He's prepared a place for you, and one day he's going to receive you to himself, that where he is, you might be also. Don't be surprised when young people die. Don't be surprised when people are fit or very useful. They suddenly die. You don't wonder, why is this? It is because God's purpose is not for us always to be here, but to go to our place above, to take our place and to go to be with our people, God's believing people. Well, Moses dies then. And then in verse 6, we read about what the Lord did after he died. Well, my dear friends, this is really beautiful, isn't it, what God does? He probably does it through the ministry of angels, but it's still very personal. It is still very loving and caring. God buries Moses. And it must have been apart from the Lord and apart from the angels perhaps who assisted in this, nobody was there. But had we been there, There must have been this remarkable funeral procession. Moses dies up on the mount, but God buries him down in the valley. So he's brought down. What a procession. And he's buried. Moses is buried, as I say, probably by the ministry of angels in a valley in the land of Moab, over against a place called Beth Peor. And no man knows, no man came to know of his sepulchre or his grave or his burial place to the day that this was written. And you can see why, my dear friends, because if they could worship the brazen serpent, and if after Gideon died they worshipped the ephod that was made out of gold, well, then they were, God knew his people, God knew Israel, that they would probably end up worshipping and committing idolatry with Moses' burial place, his sepulchre. So it was not known where his sepulchre was to that day and also to this. Isn't it lovely, my dear friends? The care God took with Moses before he died, when he died, and also after he died. He cared not only for his soul, to bring it into his presence in glory, but he went on to care for his body too, and saw that it was buried in a grave, ready for the day of the general resurrection. And Matthew Henry says, a quote from his commentary, God takes care. He not only takes care of our souls and of our bodies while we're alive, and we'll come back to that in a moment, but also he takes care of the dead bodies of his servants. As their death is precious, so is their dust. My dear friends, you don't have to worry that God won't care for your soul. He cares deeply about your soul, and he's going to take it to heaven. But you don't even have to worry about what's going to happen to your remains. We shouldn't be too worried about what's going to happen to our remains afterwards. But the Lord will take care of that somewhere and another. And he cares for your dust. So much so, my dear friends, he's going to oversee it, and he's going to raise it in the last day, incorruptible, and it's going to be reunited with your glorified spirit to be forever with him. Don't worry what's going to happen to your body. God will take care of that. He will raise it and reunite it with your soul. God takes care of the dead bodies of his people. As their death is precious, so also is their dust. So don't fear death for that reason. It's going to happen to me afterwards. Laid in the grave, my burial. It's happened to my remains. Leave it to him. He'll deal with that. And one day he'll raise it in the general resurrection. And he not only cared for Moses' body after he died. Notice here he cared for it up until the time of his death as well. Moses died when he was 120. 3 times 40. The first 40 years of Moses' life has been described as Moses thinking that he was really somebody. And the next 40, God showed him that he was really nobody. And the final 40, God showed him what he could do with a nobody. And that's a pretty good way of describing Moses' life and how he deals with every single one of us throughout our Christian lives. But God cared for him. He looked after him. He preserved him. And he was going to live not only to 80 years and 10, not only 80 years, but 120 years old, even though he didn't attain to the years of his parents and to his forebears. And even though he lived for so long, God preserved his eyesight. When he died, his eye wasn't dim, it wasn't weak, like some of his predecessors in his family. And his natural force, his bodily strength, his bodily activity, his bodily vigour was not abated. It didn't ebb away, it didn't decay, it didn't flee or haste away, because God took care of his body, not only after his death, but up until the time of his death, to his death. Now, I can't tell you, I'm not going to preach a health and wealth message to you. I don't know what's going to happen to you physically, but we have to trust, my dear friends, don't we? Always be anxious, what's going to happen to me, what sickness am I going to have, what illness, what disease am I going to have, how am I going to die? We've got to leave it with the Lord. He's going to determine how long you're going to live. He's going to determine what your illness might be. you may die of old age. The Lord may preserve you. You may live to be over 100. But it's all in His hands. Leave it with Him. Leave it to God to decide when your death is going to take place. What's going to happen beforehand. What you're going to be like. Whether you're going to have your mental faculties. What kind of physical state you're going to be in. Leave it to Him. He knows best. And He's going to do everything according to His perfect, perfect plan. I hope, my dear friends, that you'll live to a great old age, and that God will use you mightily, and that you'll have perfect eyesight to the day of your death, that you'll be strong and vigorous and serving Him right through to the very end, like Moses, like some great men in the past. But it may not be, and we just have to submit to Him and be wise in the way in which we look after ourselves and care for ourselves throughout our lives. What we eat, how we exercise and so on, to take care, all these things are factors in what our physical state will be throughout our lives and towards the end too. So will God take care of your body up until this time? Yes, He will. Don't fear. It's all in His hands. It's all according to His will. And finally, my dear friends, the children of Israel are mentioned here before we close. And we're told that after He died, even though they didn't know where He was buried, they came to know that He had died and had been buried, and they wept for Moses, they lamented, they sorrowed over him, because he was such a mighty, great man of God and servant of God and servant for them. And they wept for him in the plains of Moab for 30 days. No doubt some of them were genuine, and it was kind of the weeping, the professional weeping and wailing of some Jews, but no doubt he was truly lamented by many. And after those days, the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. There's something lovely here at the end. What do you think? Maybe a little bit of conjecture here. What do you think that they were doing after Moses took leave of them at the foot of the mount, as he left the plains of Moab, went up into Pisgah, the mount of Nebo, to the time that they heard it? Came to realise that he died and been buried and began to lament him. What do you think they were doing? They couldn't accompany him. They couldn't be present with him. But they could pray for him. And I'm sure that they returned to their tents, to the camp, and prayed for Moses throughout. And my dear friends, it's a wonderful thing when God's people come to the end of their lives and the Lord's people are praying for them. And if you know people who come into the end of theirs, pray for them. Wonderful when people, God's people as they're dying, are held up by prayer. People are praying and interceding for them. And the thought that Christ is interceding for us in that day. And He's holding us up, keeping us. And He's going to accompany us. Perhaps God's saints can accompany us so far they can be around our deathbeds. But as we're sinking, only He can comfort us and continue with us. His right hand upholding us, His rod and staff comforting us all the way. And that He brings us by angels into His immediate presence. What a lovely thought, my dear friends. When you come to die, you can take the fear away from us. God's people will be praying for us. And He will be interceding upon your behalf. Well, my dear Moses, God's servant, his death. I think you would agree with me that looking at his death here should, if we take these things on board, take away some of the fear of ours away from us, if we have any whatsoever. And if his doesn't, well, my dear friends, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ does. His death should take away any fear of death of our own, because he's dealt with our sins once and forever, and by faith he's imputed to us his perfect righteousness. We don't have to fear death or the judgment. We're going to our Father and we're going to our Saviour. These are the great things to look forward to by faith and to have a sure and certain and great hope concerning them. Let's press on, my dear friends, through this world. Let's do what we can, while it's still day. The night comes when we can't work any longer. Do works of faith and love. Let's work on, serve on, worship on, until we reach the glory everlasting. Let's look forward to it, and even to our death. Sometimes, my dear friends, towards the end of the day, as you consider these things, consider the end of your life, don't you thrill at the thought of leaving this world, this sinful world, leaving this body which kind of weights us down from day to day, and to be delivered from this present evil world, to be delivered from this mortality, from this sinful flesh that drags us down all the time, and to soar through those tracks unknown, see him on his judgment throne, as the hymnist says, and remain with him forever.